Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Federal prosecutors are expected to seek a long prison sentence for pharmacist Barry Cadden when Cadden returns to court next month. In March, a federal jury convicted him of racketeering and mail fraud after a deadly national meningitis outbreak was traced to contaminated steroids prepared by Cadden's New England Compounding Center. Cadden was facing possible life in prison if the jury found him guilty of committing 25 murders in the second degree. But the jury delivered verdicts of not guilty instead. Whether the jurors were unanimous, as they were required to be, is in question, and so too is the judge who accepted their verdicts. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri explains.
The verdicts came in March after a 9-week trial and 20 hours of deliberations.
And then the verdict comes in, and of course, you know, there's incredible anticipation as the jury comes back and the verdict is about to be read. The courtroom was full. The overflow courtroom had lots of people in it. People were hanging on this verdict to see what was going to happen.
Until January, lawyer David Schumacher was assistant U.S. attorney and deputy chief of the healthcare fraud unit, which investigated and then prosecuted Barry Cadden.
Just an incredible human tragedy with hundreds of people injured and numerous people dying as a result of these tainted steroids that were injected into people's bodies.
The judge had given the jurors the standard instructions, Schumacher says.
And you have to be unanimous, up or down, guilty or not guilty.
The clerk handed the jury's verdict form to the judge. He read the 21 pages of verdicts to himself, but there was something amiss.
Read to me again exactly what the judge said.
Stephen Gillers, a professor at NYU, is considered a national expert on judicial ethics and the law governing trials. I read exactly what the judge said. In some cases on the verdict slip, the jurors indicate how they voted in terms of a division. Professor Giller says that was weird.
The word division is inconsistent with the word unanimous, and verdicts have to be unanimous in federal court in criminal cases.
When Judge Stearns told his clerk to read the verdicts but not how the jurors voted, two puzzled prosecutors looked at each other as if to say, "What?" What they heard at first was reassuring. Guilty. Guilty. For each of the first 27 racketeering acts, guilty. In all, Barry Cadden would be convicted on 57 counts of racketeering and mail fraud. But the tide changed when it came to the acts of second-degree murder. They were at the heart of the case, because convictions could mean Barry Cadden would go to prison for life. Not guilty. Not guilty. For every one of 25, not guilty. The prosecutors and a packed audience were stunned. Remember, the clerk is the only one with a verdict form, so the lawyers can't see what she is reading. But much later, when they did see that form, and when it was too late to do anything about it, the prosecutors discovered something even more stunning.
It's an extraordinary verdict form. It's like nothing I've ever seen.
Says David Schumacher, the former prosecutor.
They actually recorded numbers, literally recording their votes.
On each verdict where the jurors checked not guilty, you can see how they voted. 9 for guilty and 3 for not guilty on some of the murder charges, 8-4 on others. Have you ever seen a verdict form with numbers on it?
Never.
Nancy Gertner is a former federal judge in Boston.
I've never seen a verdict form with numbers. Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? Says one trial lawyer. No one ever enters numbers on a jury form. He was one of several lawyers who spoke to us but requested anonymity because he tries cases before Judge Stearns.
It is a gigantic mess.
Harvey Silverglade is a trial and appellate lawyer and a legal writer. He points to all the signs that the jurors returned verdicts that weren't unanimous and thus weren't verdicts at all. Whenever the form says guilty, for instance, there's a check mark and a handwritten note, check mark equals unanimous. You don't see that for the not guilty verdicts. That are the only verdicts that come with numbers that show a split. Harvey Silverglade.
To me, this means that there was a hung jury.
That is, a jury that was divided. Stephen Gillers, the expert on judicial ethics and the law regarding trials, calls the situation astonishing.
It's impossible really to say what the jury was thinking. At best, there's an ambiguity. My best guess is that the jury was telling the judge where it was divided on certain counts and where it was unanimous on other counts. And the judge misinterpreted that to mean that it was unanimous on all counts.
So the ramifications of this ambiguity seem enormous.
Of course they're enormous.
Because if the judge determines the jurors are split, he can send them back to resume deliberations. And the verdict form for Barry Cadden shows the jurors were close to 12 for guilty on a number of murder charges. And if the jurors still can't reach a verdict, the judge can declare the jury is hung and then declare a mistrial. A mistrial in this case would have allowed the government to retry Cadden on those particular charges where the jurors could not agree. What happened instead when Judge Stearns accepted the jurors' not guilties as verdicts meant that Cadden could not be retried on murder charges that could have sent him to prison for life. And that's why that verdict form was so critical, says Harvey Silverglade.
You look at it now and you say, how could the judge have not realized that this is at the very least ambiguous? How could he not have realized it?
I know what would have happened in my courtroom if I saw these numbers.
Again, former federal judge Nancy Gertner.
I would have had a sidebar, that is to say, a confidential discussion with the lawyers and say, what do you want me to do with this?
Consulting the lawyers and questioning the jurors was the opposite of what Judge Stearns did when he told the clerk to read the verdicts and not the numbers.
So the question is, what's the significance of these numbers?
Gertner says she would have solved the mystery by asking the jurors whether they were unanimous where the numbers indicated they were not. It would have taken 15 minutes. Gertner does put blame on the prosecutors. She says they should have inquired when the judge hinted at a problem, although other attorneys say that would have required near clairvoyance. And Silverglade blames the prosecution for confusing the jurors with complicated verdict forms that resulted from charges that were unnecessarily complex. Yet Stephen Gillers keeps the judge at center stage. Does the majority of the responsibility for what happened fall with the judge rather than the lawyers?
Oh, far and away with the judge. The judge has the document in front of him. He sees the numbers. It was incumbent on the judge to recognize immediately that was not clear.
There was one last chance for the court to make sure the jurors understood that they needed to be 12 up or 12 down, either way, on every verdict. Before the jury came in for the last time, Judge Stearns had told the court that, when the clerk finishes, I will ask each of the jurors to affirm that this indeed is your unanimous verdict. But the judge never did that. Instead, and after the last verdict was delivered, the clerk asked, so say you, Mr. Foreman? Yes. So say you, all members of the jury? Yes. If there was a question that would have confirmed that each juror had understood that all the verdicts had to be unanimous and were indeed unanimous, that wasn't it. Harvey Silverglade.
With all due respect to the judge, he's a bright guy. He must have seen the potential problem. He was trying to whitewash it. And as a result, he made a worse mess. He probably should have been much more frank with the lawyers as to what was in those juror slips.
By the time the lawyers got to see the verdict form, the jurors were already on their way home. Only they know for sure what those numbers mean. But nearly 2 months later, Judge Richard Stearns has still not made the list of jurors public. The federal court in Boston has ruled the jury lists are presumed to be public. But Stearns' clerk told WBUR she's not sure if and when it will ever be released. So, like Judge Stearns, we have not questioned the jurors. The judge had no comment. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.